Welcome to episode 43 of the Mile 62 podcast. I'm your host, Richard Elkins, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Today I got a great podcast. I'm speaking with one of my friends who lives in Oregon. His name is Garrett Murgatroyd. Really fast trail runner. This guy runs a 18-minute 5K, about 3 hours and 12-minute marathon, and recently ran a 5:23 50K. Really impressive, and I think he has a bright future ahead of him. His plan is to tackle some more ultras, 100Ks, 100-milers. I think you'll like the interview, so stay tuned after the break. Hey, Garrett.
Hi, Richard. How's it going?
Yeah, hey, good. Good to talk with you. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Just got off work.
Where are you?
About what I'm going to do this afternoon?
Yeah.
Do dishes, do chores, go for a run. Not sure what I'm doing yet.
Yeah, I went for a run this morning. It's I'm in Austin, Texas, so it's getting pretty hot here. I think summer's arrived early.
Yeah, that's Austin. Austin's a nice place to be, man.
Yeah, but
humidity down there is. If it's getting hot,
I bet it's getting difficult.
Yeah, it can get very humid, especially after a rain. So we're.
I'm in Oregon now. In Central Oregon now.
Is that near Bend?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot. Most of my work is in Bend. I've been doing a lot of running around Bend.
That's an incredible place.
Yeah, it's definitely worth the trip. I mean, not just for running. They got tons of breweries and stuff, but there's a huge collection of trails. Pretty similar to Austin once you figure it out down there.
But
the Dutchess National Forest and the Cascades. I'm waiting for the snow to melt really before I get too far out there. But
yeah, I can imagine. I know a lot of pros live in Bend. It's one of those towns where it's great for training. And a few years back, I lived in San Jose, and before I moved back to Texas, I had thought about maybe moving to that area, but I just couldn't find a job. But I heard it's a neat town. So are you?
Oh yeah.
Are you a little bit north of Bend, or are you in the countryside, or where are you located at?
Yeah, I'm currently boondocking outside of Redmond, which is just north of Bend, 15 miles or so.
Oh, okay. All right. So are you in a construction business? I saw some pictures on Instagram you were posting.
Yeah, I'm a carpenter. I try to stick to rough framing. Kind of just do whatever I can find. Vegas, I was installing down in Las Vegas over in Colorado. I was technically doing framing, but it was just sort of punch out work. But mostly it's punch out work for framing. Down in Austin, I was working with a remodeler, doing a lot of punch out work as well. He had a lot of jobs going, so.
That's a hell of a workout in itself, doing that kind. My brother was a framer for a while. Y'all can start real early. So I guess that you're always running when you get home, because y'all start so early in the morning. So
yeah, it's nice. I mean, with all the pandemic stuff going on and whatnot, with having to wear a mask inside and going to the gym and whatnot, it just sort of when you're carrying sheets of plywood around and 2x4s and 2x6s, and especially, Some of these, I mean, up here, anyways, jobs I'm on now, got a bunch of Gulam beams and whatnot. I mean, you're putting, 50, 60, 100 pounds on your shoulder walking, across the job site with it. Yeah, no, it's pretty nice. It's a constant workout. So,
Yeah, I can
you know,
imagine
not
when
eating
I
or
was.
going to the gym is not too big of a deal.
Yeah, exactly. When I was much younger, I was doing sheetrocking and rough ends for a plumber. And that was rough as hell, digging in. This is back way before they have a lot of the equipment that they have now. So,
Sure.
but so how did you get into running? I mean, I was looking at your Strava times you had posted on there. Like 18-minute 5K. That's fast as hell, man. Have you been a runner a long time?
I discovered that I liked to run in fifth grade when we ran the mile for gym. I ran it pretty fast. And when everybody, when we got back to, or when we went back inside, anyways, everybody, it was running socks, and I was, they just, everybody was like, just really, nobody, it didn't, it was a chore for everybody, it seemed like, I guess is a way to put it. I was like, that was great. Like, let's go do it again, and then, sixth grade, I joined track, but, I kind of got sidetracked with other things with being a kid and growing up and stuff. So, it's, I've had a on and off, running career for a long time, off more than on.
So what are you focused on now? I noticed you did the I was looking at ultrasound. You did that 50K in Boulder City, Nevada, and you did really well in that. So you are you focused on the trail running now or?
I really wish that the running scene overall really was what we had, was what was going on back in the early 2000s when I was in high school. I might have taken it a little bit more seriously then. The trail running culture, the trail running scene is very alluring. It's a lot of fun. My long-term goals is to get up into do I want to do 100 mile. I want to get a belt buckle basically. So I'm trying to push the distances and whatnot. I'm not too focused on speed. I'm mid 30s now, so I'm kind of like, well, I guess I kind of missed that boat as far as being like competitively fast, and really like doing something with it. And then I talked to these people who do like ultras and whatnot, and they're like, oh, well, you're just starting. So, and then you see other stuff, and people are in their 30s and 40s and stuff, and they're the ones who are kind of, there's other guys who are much younger than that who are doing it and putting up really fast times. But
Yeah, you look at someone like Jeff Browning, and I'm 53, and he's a few years younger than me, and there's only one person that's won more 100 milers than him, and he's still going at it. And you with your fast time, you just slow down a little bit, you still will be getting probably low 20s, high teens. I'm out there 26, 27 hours. I'm 3 for 6. I've DNF 3 times and finished 3 of them. But 100K, that is no problem. I always finish. But the 100 milers, it's that extra 20 some miles. It's a son of a bitch.
Well, yeah, it just, I mean, when you're talking about doing, when you talk about going to a 50K from a marathon, you're like, well, it's just another 6 miles, you're talking about a whole marathon, like a whole another 50K at that point. It's a whole new animal.
Yeah, it is.
I'm hoping to do the rim to rim to rim here maybe this fall or something like that. I don't know. I'm pretty far out of the South and out of the Southwest now. So, but that was sort of the plan as far as bumping up my furthest day distance. So we'll see what happens. But I've talked to a couple guys now who've run 100 miles, and they're like, "Oh, you can run a marathon? Oh, you can run 100 miles. the same thing. You're out of your mind. But
I think it's the toughest one. I mean, I think the, and I agree, the longer ones. I haven't done a 200 miler, but everyone says those are much easier because you got several days to do it. You know, the 100 mile, you
sure.
got to do it in one push. And there's, I mean, at my pace, I mean, I'm spending just a minute at an aid station and I keep moving the whole time, you know, and I'm out there, you know, 26, 27 hours. So it's tough if you, but if you got some speed like you do, I think you'll be real successful at it. One really fun one to do, and I've done it twice, is the Javelina 100. That's there in Phoenix area.
Yeah, a
That's
lot of the guys
yeah.
down in Vegas, guys, a lot of the people down in Vegas, they run the Javelina. It's a real popular one. I've definitely heard that in Black Canyon.
Yeah, that's one I want to do too. You know, the Arivapa, they do a real good job, and the aid stations are pretty cool, and they got music, and you know, even got liquor there and everything. It's a good time, and it's a real nice community that goes out there. And being that there's, well, the exception of last year, that there's so many people out at the race, it's a lot of fun because they usually run at the washing board, you know, so there's people coming at you and then coming from behind you, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Sure.
Yeah. But there's a lot of good races. Of course, the West Coast has got the most races, but you know, up in Oregon, they got some really cool ones too. I heard there's one real tough one called Palm to Palm or something like that. It's like Lower Oregon, just on the border of California. But I know in Oregon and in Washington, they've got some pretty cool ultras up there.
Yeah, somebody posted, a whole spreadsheet in one of the groups on Facebook. I've got it saved. It just lists, I mean, it's just this huge list, and it's by date, which is nice. And I've heard something about, there's one from maybe Mount Hood to the coast or something like that, some run there. But yeah, there's a bunch of them up here. I wanted to, I mean, this is a little south, but the one that I want to do that's up is Lake Tahoe Rim. That's kind of where my this
Yeah.
last this is the longest and most serious running part segment of my life. And it kind of kicked off, and it did. I mean, it really did in Lake Tahoe. That's kind of where I was hoping to do to get my belt buckle. But I don't know if that's going to happen because it's just, I don't know, everything's so there's so many
Yeah.
people who are getting into it. You know, maybe if I would have gotten back into running a couple years prior, then I, you know, before I did, it would have been a little bit easier. But now everything's so, there's lotteries for everything, and I don't know. We'll see what happens. It might just,
Yeah,
I
it's
don't know.
tough out on the West Coast. You know, I was living in San Jose, and I say, okay, I want to do this one in Muir County. Okay, no, it's lottery, it's already full. It's always there's a lot of races in California, but you got to plan it way ahead of time. Whereas like here in Texas, we got quite a few trail races, but I usually can sign up the week before. I mean, I pay $10 more, but you know, it's better that way if you're not injured or you know something comes up. But and when I was living in California, you had to plan like 3 or 4 months ahead of time to get in a race. You know? Yeah, but.
I'm definitely not very good about that. I'm signed up for a race a month out.
It's usually a week or two.
You just never know, you know. I mean, like if you never know if something's gonna pop up, or you gotta, you know, making sure that it's a lot easier to make sure that that time's gonna be available closer. Which I mean, like you said,
I mean, I don't really.
paying an extra $10 or whatever. Isn't that big of a deal. So it's more about, you know, am I going to get a shirt or not, or something like that. Like that's,
Yeah. So what do you
so
have any on the do you have any on the radar coming up that you're gonna do or not 100 milers, but any trail races or
I did that. I just I'm coming off of a like a rest week. I ran two marathons in Texas, and then I ran that 50K in Vegas, and I've been pushing myself really hard for the last, I mean, for the this for 2021, really. And I finally May 1st, I was just like, all right, take a breath. It's time to cool off for a minute. So I'm thinking today I'm gonna go for, 5 miles, 6, 7 mile run, and I'm gonna start looking at something for May. 2019, I did a race a month, and it was all half marathon or less. I did maybe three halves that year and a full, and then everything else was all 5 and 10 Ks. And I was trying to do that this year, but with halves and up. I did that race. I did Blood, Sweat, and Beers, 50K in Boulder City, south of Vegas. And then I came up here, and all the restrictions and stuff were still going. And the one race that did happen while I was up here that was close and would have been able to sign up for, I was so beat up that I decided to skip it. I did do a marathon through in Bend. I just didn't sign up for the virtual, like I didn't register in the virtual race, but there was the Bend Marathon a couple weeks ago. It just they couldn't actually hold the event. So I'm going to be looking at I'm going to be looking to try and find something here for May. But no, I don't know what it's going to be or where it's going to be. We just had a Kate Brown just kicked our pulled the dining restrictions and all that stuff, all the COVID stuff, put it back into place, and then I guess it got taken away or something, and now the mask mandate has been is now expired or something. I don't know. It's
So it's loosening up some, no? So
yeah, I don't know
yeah.
what's going on with it all right now.
Seems like a lot of races are still getting canceled. I know the San Diego 100 got canceled, but yet there was a race in Central California. But I think we have it a little bit better in Texas. Not many things have been canceled. They just started where you can start on a. It used to be the races were on either on Friday or Saturday, and if it was a 100 miler, it was a 2 day. But now they start races on Friday. You can get a little discount, and then they have waves. You just pick your start time. So they found ways to get around it. And when you get out on the course, there's not many people. So.
No, in the way, really, I mean, if any there's anything good to come out of this, for running specifically, I really kind of like the wave starts. I don't that I really kind of like how that goes. One thing that I
Yeah, I
always
do
try, like,
too.
I try not to start on the start line, and I just tell, you trained at your pace, you know your pace. Don't let, guys or people trying to start off fast, screw you up and burn you out too quickly. Just run your race and do your thing. And with the wave starts, it just, I mean, when I ran the Texas Trail Festival with Tejas Trails, I started by myself. There wasn't,
Oh,
I mean,
that's
I just,
great.
so it was just like, all right, well, here we go. I really like that wave start. I think that that's a good thing, because that's I've never done that before, any of this.
That's what that Tejas Trails really kind of started that in Texas, and now the other race directors are doing it, and I think it's worked real well. Yeah, that same race is coming up pretty soon. It's in the beginning of June. Is they're advertising it now, but they've done a good job about that, and I like it too because you can, like, they had a 150 mile race that I joined last year, and if you start on Friday, you got a longer cutoff time. So they still finishing on Sunday, so it's pretty cool. It's made it a little bit easier for getting into 100 milers or even longer because they got an extra day. So.
Sure. Yeah, maybe even take a little bit of the pressure off. That's kind of an interesting point. I haven't heard about that. I'm not trying not to focus too much on that kind of stuff, because I'm not at that point. But that is interesting, and I could see how that would definitely be nice.
Yeah,
I mean, think about
I think some of those things are gonna they'll keep around because they're people really like it, and I think it's brought a lot more people into trail running too, because they all these race directors in all parts of the U.S. have been trying to make extra money with the virtual races, and they're telling everybody that we've increased a lot the amount of trail runners just because of the virtual races. So a lot of them are actually are wanting to race on real trails now. So yeah, we'll see. But so how was this Blood, Sweat, and Beers? That's an interesting name. I've never been to Boulder City. Is that a kind of a technical rocky area, or was it a lot of forest? What kind of race was that?
It's a great, I mean, it was it is technical. It's not the trail is cleaner than a lot of the or smoother, I should say, maybe, than the trails down in the Austin area. You guys have got some it's like Texas. Austin trails are trying to break your ankle, man.
Yeah, they're like rock gardens.
Everywhere. These are, I mean, there's some pretty is it skyline at the top of the hill there. Skyline coming down. That was pretty technical. Some pretty smooth rock dirt trail, you know, if you
single track that, if
you misstep, you might find yourself rolling downhill. And that the Girl Scout Connect, something Connect.
There's a
There's a couple
couple.
of spots on. Yeah, if you took a there's
You know, some.
It's a mountain bike park, is what it is. Bootleg Canyon is
It's
where
where
the
the
Blood,
blood.
Sweat, and Beers race was held.
Oh, okay.
It's a mountain bike park. So, I mean, like, there's a couple, and I
Know,
know on
on
the
the
other
other
side
side
of
of.
the park, I don't know if it's really still Bootleg Canyon or. The 3 foot. No, there's definitely some very technical terrain in the area. Trail, the route of Blood, Sweat, and Beers itself, that extreme. But it
Was
was sort of feet of gain.
Wow,
So, I
that's a
mean,
lot
it's
for
not like
50K. Yeah.
it's well, it's not, I mean, it's not extreme. You see some of these mountain ultras where people are, I mean, doing 10,000, 15,000 feet. Like, it's a really good introduction to like trail racing. And I guess there's, you know, marathon plus distances. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, it beat me up. I definitely overtrained for it. I hung out with the front of the pack, with the lead pack, for probably the first 4 miles, 4.5 miles,
Oh, really? Oh, God.
and they, I mean, they were booking it, and it was really fun, you know. But like I said, I had to overtrain, and I mean, pretty much, I mean, even from the start, I just kind of, oh, my legs are tired, and then when we got to the hill, I'm not gonna try and keep up with them up this hill, because if I try and go up, this is a 1,000 foot gain hill or something. If I try and go up, I try to stay at a 7.5 minute pace or whatever they were running, it's just gonna destroy me, and I won't be able to finish. So,
Yeah, well, yeah, you still are able to hang on there. You got a pretty good time. Was it like 5.5 hours? That's pretty good. That's really good for a 50K. So, are you using what when you're out there running on the trails? Are you using bottles, or do you use a pack, or what's your strategy?
I carry a pack.
Okay.
The people, I don't know. I've heard that bottles, you know, you can refill them faster. That might be, I mean, I don't see why that isn't true. You know, and they probably wash out better, so you'd be more, it'd be easier to use like Tailwind or just some other sodium drink in them. but I don't like carrying things when I'm running. So I just stick with a pack. And when you start talking about even marathons, I don't know if I would use I would carry any hydration for a 60 mile, but for a marathon or a 50K, I mean, I'm so not really concerned. Like, it just, time becomes such less important. Like, I want to do good for sure. But if I spend, 30 seconds or a minute refilling my water bladder, it's not a 5K where it sub 20 minutes. It's like, I wear a pack. It holds my phone. I can grab my phone and change songs and take a picture if I want real easily. And I can carry a Clif Bar and some gummy bears or something.
That's a good strategy. I do the same. I change it up some, not for much saving time, but if I found that if I'm like running over 20 hours in a really long run, like a long 100K or 100 miler, that just my back starts hurting. So what I've done is I'll use bottles during the day, and then when it gets dark, I'll put a pack on and just kind of change it up, just so I don't not carrying it the same way the whole time. I just found that, the longer the race goes, it's just the body starts really jacking with you.
Yeah, man, that's a good point. I see. That's like I said, I'm trying to build up a base. I've got a good base. Start really pushing into ultra distances. And one of the things that was said to me while I was in Vegas, the running community, one of the things that was said to me there was run in 3.5 hours or less, run a 50K in 4 or 5 hours. Have you ever run for 6 hours?
Have you ever run for 10 hours?
And that's when you started talking about running a 10K. Tyler, 12 hours is a long time two-thirds of a gallon or something, a little bit more than that. Having 5 pounds sitting on your back for 6 hours. I mean, that's a really, I've never thought about that.
Yeah. What gets me and is the lower back. It just, if I carry too much weight too long, if past 15 hours or something like that, I just learned from trial and error. Then, I try to toss it up some. And you're exactly right. The longer the race goes, you got to kind of work with things. And then nutrition the same way, some people can, take liquid nutrition or, eat, gels or choose the whole race. But I found that I can't do that. I'll try eat the aid station gels and stuff like that during the day. But at night, I try to start eating real food. I just found that if I just do one or the other, it doesn't work for me. So yeah, you just kind of play with it, because the longer the runs get, it starts getting harder on the body. So you gotta figure out ways to, not have stomach problems, not get dehydrated, that kind of thing. Because, in the shorter races, you can kind of grunt through it sometimes, like especially in a marathon, if your hydration's off, you might hit the wall, but you still can grind through it. But
walking races, 3 or 4 miles isn't, that's not that big of a deal when you're comparing it to hitting, having your body go haywire at mile 40 of a 100K or even 100 miles. I mean, it's just, it's a totally different animal. And that's one of the things, I mean, I've heard people talk about, they say, I'm going to alternate. I'm going to run a mile, and I'm going to walk a mile, and I'm just going to try and keep my pace at, 15 minutes, 16, 17 minutes, finish 30 hours plus. I mean, it sounds good. But again, it's like when you're walking for 5 miles and you've got 30 more to go, I mean, that would be pretty rough.
Yeah, you know what people,
something.
Yeah, what people don't keep in mind sometimes it's time on feet too. You know, you could be going slower, and you know, towards the end of a 100 miler, I'll hike or walk some here and there when I just can't. But if it's a runnable surface, I try to, you know, even if it's a slow jog, because when you're stopping in aid stations or, you know, you have to, you know, do this or that, but it chews up a bunch of time.
Yeah.
And so people will work it out where I've seen people talk about, well, you know, I can do 15 minutes and finish exactly in 30 hours. Well, you need to work out a plan where you finish in exactly 28 hours because something's going to come up.
Well, yeah. Elevation is a really, I mean, yeah, maybe you could walk a mile in 13 minutes, 14 minutes, but you're looking at 1,000 foot gain, you know, 1,000 foot hill in front of you or something. You're going to slow down.
Yeah.
Or you got terrain. I mean, it's definitely, it changes it up a lot. I mean,
yeah, I remember I was in 100K that had a lot of big longhorns on the course, and they swore up and down that they won't bother you. But when you get up next to one and it's the size of a car, you know, and he's standing in the middle of the trail, and there's trees on both sides, there's nowhere to pass.
Hello?
Can you hear me, Garrett?
Yep, there you go.
Okay.
It's probably me. Like I said, I'm bootlegging, so I'm not really. I'm kind of on the outskirts now, and it's kind of windy right now, so I might be playing with it too.
Oh, no problem. It's windy where I'm at too. Well, hey, it's good talking to you. Are you gonna make it back down to Texas anytime soon?
Yeah. I mean, I would. I really like that Greenbelt area. That was a great place to run. The Texas Trail Festival was really awesome. I think it would be awesome to run that when they're actually, you know, when they've got food trucks there and people can hang out and nobody's particularly worried about any kind of, you know, diseases and such, you know, and all the music of Austin, the culture, to really experience the culture of Austin. It didn't really get a fair shake from my time there. I was there over the winter time. I was there over the winter this last year. So everything was, 6th Street was closed down, and you know, it just kind of, you know, didn't really get to go and like check out any of the restaurants or anything. So, you know, I definitely want to go back and really experience Austin for what it's known for.
It's starting to open up some. Unfortunately, a lot of the restaurants and stuff are still closed, but yeah, a lot of good trails up in the area. I live in Georgetown, which is just north of Austin, and we have the Georgetown Lake, and there's a real nice trail system going around the lake. It's about exactly a marathon to go around it. And
that's where Spectrum holds their of their races, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's very interesting because it's close to the city, but when you're out on that trail that you think you're in a really rural area.
And, yeah, that was a really good run too. They had a really good race they had a beer company there. It was a pretty good introduction to trail racing, or like, you know, a marathon plus racing, because it isn't a, you know, they say, well, marathon, but it's a little bit more than a marathon. So if you're not, you hit that 26 mile mark, you're like, oh, I'm good. You know, I got another quarter mile to go or so, and then a mile later you're still going, you're like, oh, okay, because it's hard to make things perfect like that. So it's a little different than running on the road, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, it's
a really nice area up there for sure.
Yeah, well, the area you're in is really good for trail running as well. So I would definitely take advantage of living in the Bend area. Now, the Bend city itself, is it, what elevation? Is it very high elevation, or do you have to go in the mountains?
Uh, think it's right under 4,000 feet. I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
Right around 4,000 feet. It's not particularly high. But I mean, it
Okay.
is like it is high. It's the high. It's a high desert area. But it's not like running in central Colorado or western Colorado, where you're like easily at 7,000 feet and it takes you 10 minutes to get up, 9,000, 10,000 feet.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I had a nice time one time. Me and my family, we went on vacation at Mammoth Lakes, and that was quite an experience because the city itself is almost 10,000, 9,000 feet, and that's where a lot of runners go to live and train. And I wish I could find a job there. I think the only place to work is the ski lift, but
Yeah, well,
that's a beautiful
construction's
place.
really great for that. If you're, I'm, I don't know what your day job is, but if you're willing to switch over, the trades are a great way to facilitate that nomadic lifestyle, as I like to call it.
Yeah, that sounds appealing. I just unfortunately not very crafty. I'm a electronics buyer, but I know what you're talking about. That's a good point. But yeah, there's some beautiful places like Mammoth Lakes or even Flagstaff. They have a few companies there, but yeah.
I definitely am kicking around the idea of going. I ran Sedona this year on my way up from Austin, which was gorgeous, and I can't wait to go back. And that's part of the reason why I've been thinking about maybe going back down to Flagstaff area for this upcoming winter. I'm not sure. Flagstaff, yes. 7,000 feet or something. It's a great place to be. And then
Yeah, I
you're
think.
an hour north of Sedona or something, which is an amazing place to run.
I think in the US that's kind of the number one area for runners, the pro runners go to train. I was just watching them run through Sedona yesterday. That they got that big Cocodona 250 going on right now. Well, just finished, but it was a first time they it's it was also done by Arivaipa, and it's pretty neat. They had live coverage. I was watching on YouTube and guys running down the trail and people following them with cameras and shit. It's pretty it's interesting how you can watch these runs on TV now.
Yeah, what channel are you watching that on? Do they cover a
It
lot of
was on
stuff?
YouTube. No, it was on YouTube. So Arivaipa, the big race director that does Javelina and Black Canyon, that this was a new race of theirs. So they're big races.
It's on their channel on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
You can check it out. I mean, because they saved the coverage. So they have like day one, day two, day three. And
Yeah.
I'll be like working out in my garage and I got a little gym in there and I'll just put it on there and watch it. It's like I'm at the race. It's pretty cool.
Sure. No, that's very cool. I know there's a couple of like running channels on YouTube, but I never really thought about looking up like race companies possibly is a way of that's I'm going to definitely look into that. That's very cool.
Yeah, they just started, some of them started doing the race coverage, and I've got a YouTube channel I just started a few weeks ago, and I'll film at races and put coverage up there too. But these big guys like Arivaipa, they got their idea from Hoka. Hoka did that 100K world record with Jim Walmsley,
Yeah.
and yeah, they had that on live on YouTube, and you could sit there and watch the whole race because they're following them around with a camera. And now some of these other big races started doing that. It's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe people understand how difficult running actually is.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you could see the whole thing. I mean, he ran the whole thing, and then at the end, you can see him, getting sick and losing his lunch. You got to see the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Well, yeah, no, I've you can if you make your way up to the Bend area, there's a bunch of really the Horse Butte, Phil's Phil's Trail. That's a whole complex. Sisters Trail Complex. Smith Rock. I've done a couple of runs there now. You can kind of go out the back gate, and there's a whole trail system that opens up to you back there. It's a little cold in the morning, but the last month and a half or so that I've been here, 2 months now that I've been here, it's no rain. We just had a couple of days of rain, but real light, just kind of knocks the dust down, gets some water into the plants, and then it's gone. Beautiful sunshine, real nice, moderate, 50s, 60s, great running weather. It's a wonderful place.
I bet. So are you still having to run on the snow, or is it most of it melted now?
No, last Friday after work, I went to go run Tullamore Ridge, and the first 3 miles starts at about 4,200 feet or something like that, 4,000 feet. And you can see a little bit of snow kind of off in the woods a little bit. This will probably be all right. And you get on the trail, and the trail is totally clear, and there's no snow or anything. But then you get up, go 3-4 miles in, you get up 1,000 feet, 1,500 more feet. And then all of a sudden you're at, 5,000, 5,500 feet, and it's still, 2, 3, 4 feet thick snowpack.
Wow.
So, yeah, the mountains, the Sisters and Mount Bachelor, that's all, you can see it from Bend, you can see it from the highway. It's all still pretty well covered in snow. Another month or two maybe, and it'll start clearing out. So
You'll be ready. Yeah, summertime, I guess you can run on all the trails. So what kind of shoes are you using? Are you like using Ultras or Hokas? So what kind of shoes you use on the trails?
I'm an Ultra shoe person. I'm on my second pair
Lone Peaks. Okay, yeah, I've got Temps, but most of the time I wear the Olympus. I like that one a lot. That's the bigger one. And I like the zero drop shoes myself. When I'm on the roads, I'll use some Hokas, just because I don't like the Ultra road shoes very much. But I'm also all Ultra on the trails. I think they do a good job.
Yeah, I've been exploring shoes pretty well. When I was in California, when I kind of got the bug to start running again, I just went and picked up a pair of Asics. But I've had a pair of New Balance that I didn't like so much. I saw everybody was running in the Ghosts. They got a 11 or 12. It was probably 12. And those were real great. I definitely saw why everybody liked those. Got a pair of not Ultra, Topas. Those were great. I got a pair of Lone Peak, I think the original one, Lone Peak one, last springish, I think it was. Uh-huh. And I really like the trail claws on the, they're a great shoe. And I got a pair of it's Topa Phantoms to run on the road with, and they're coming out with these side rails now on some of these road shoes, or maybe just shoes in general. My feet really don't like those, so I got a pair of what are these called, Torrens, to run on the road. I think they're great.
I've heard good things about them. I I don't like the side rails either, because I got a, you know, wide foot, and I need to move around a little bit. But I've even found that on my ultras, and once I get a couple hundred miles in them, and you know, wear the bottoms down a little bit, I just use them on the roads. They work fine.
Yeah, they do. I would like to see, it would be really cool. I mean, there's obvious differences between the tread on a trail shoe and a road shoe, but I would some more like crossover styles of shoes. That would be really cool. They could figure something out like that. Cause that's one of my favorite places to run is like logging roads. And I mean, you know, they're not really particularly technical. They're not overly steep where you're doing high steps, you know, to get up somewhere. I mean, it's this real nice mix between road and trail. One of my favorite places.
I know what you're talking about. I know Hoka has some, you know, what they call crossover shoes, where, you know, you run on the roads till you get to the trails, and then, yep, or you can use them for commuting and that sort of thing. Because I run into that too, because in my area where I run, I usually run like a 10K or 6 miles, but the first couple miles are on road until I get to the trails. So yeah, you know, something go both ways. You know,
stuff like that too. I mean, I was doing that down in Austin myself, actually. Going to go to the planet, run from the Planet Fitness to one of the trails, and then I'd run a couple miles on the trail. I don't really see any real they just talk about the tread wear, really. So if there was something, you know, in the in-between there where you weren't too worried about ruining the tread on the bottom of the shoes transitioning from one to the other. That's funny. That's my kind of running.
Same for me. You know, it's
a lot of fun. Here at Bend, we've got a run with we got a pub run, and then there's a run that meets at a pizza joint. You know, it's not, you know, group runs, not taking it too seriously, hanging out, having a beer, eating some food. It's a good time. I really like that aspect of, you know, back in the early 2000s, there might have been some scene that I didn't know about, but it was, you know, pretty much like running, you know, community races, and maybe you have like a pancake breakfast or something like that. And, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But now, you know, you got like brewery run series stuff. And the first marathon I finished anyways was called the Rockin' Brews Marathon in Madison, Wisconsin. And that was, there was a quote unquote beer tasting at the finish line, and I figured, you know, there'd be a couple of tents from, you know, maybe like New Glarus or something like that. Some of the, they just had, you know, six kegs under a tent, and they handed you a cup. Here you go. Like, all right, cool. Let's hang out, drink some beer.
That's cool. That's what makes it fun.
You know, like the 50K in Vegas is blood, sweat, and beers. They got a nice pint glass from that and a free beer at the end of the race. And people are hanging out with trailers and stuff. And there were a couple of car campers there. There were a couple of RVs, a couple of trailers. It's just like there's a, I don't know, maybe there was a community back when I was in high school and whatnot. I just didn't know about it. But the way that the scene has built up, I think a lot with, you know, the introduction of social media and whatnot, and being able to build a, you know, especially I would assume the ultra community. I know the Western States started a long time ago, but I mean, I never heard about that until recently.
and through the internet, or like through my smartphone and social media and such.
Yeah, same about me. I've been road running for a really long time, 30 years, something like that. But when I went to California, I learned about trail running. I didn't even know that existed, you know. But yeah, no, I think it's great, and the communities that, you know, they're getting more creative and fun, and yeah, it's a good time. But hey, Garrett, it's good talking to you. I'll let you go. I really appreciate you chatting with you and learning a little bit about you and what it's like to run in that area. So.
Yeah, Rich, good luck with the podcast and stuff. I'm working my way through the catalog as we're speaking right now.
Cool.
Hopefully it grows. I mean, it seems like you got a format that you are working with, and you got a plan. The YouTube thing starting. Maybe I'll get a video for you or something at something.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love that. You know, I just got me a new GoPro and learning how to use it and learned how to set up the YouTube website. I didn't know it's not very user friendly, but you know, I've learned in this 2 weeks a lot. And same thing with the podcasting, you know, mostly it's race recaps and, you know, talking with friends and, you know, sometimes shoe reviews and stuff. I try to do a little bit different because most of the podcasts out there are just talking to pros and stuff. And that's not really what I want to do. I just want to talk to, you know, people that are my friends and stuff like that. So.
Cool. Yeah. I think that's very cool.
All right.
There's a lot of us that are just kind of middle of the pack, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Doing our best.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey buddy, have a good weekend, and let's keep in touch.
Definitely, Rich, sounds good.
All right, talk to you later. Bye. Hey, thanks for listening to my podcast. I appreciate it. And just a reminder, I recently started up my YouTube channel. You can search on YouTube by Mile 62. If you've looked at it recently, I've even updated it further. I've now got sections on trail running. You can also listen to these podcasts. They're uploaded, the audio version. So you have a choice now. You can listen to it on YouTube, or you can listen to it on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Anchor. There's quite a few different forums now you can listen to the podcast. But just got a GoPro camera and started doing videos, and excited about starting to film some of my races and some of the things I'm doing. So stay tuned. I appreciate it if you check out my YouTube channel. And if it's convenient and you like to watch videos about trail running and endurance sports, please subscribe. It helps me out a lot, try to get traction on YouTube. And if you have any feedback on my YouTube channel or my podcast, please send me an email. It's runnerrwe@gmail.com, or you can reach me on Instagram at runnerrwe. Just direct message me. And if you got a good topic for a future podcast, or you'd like to join me on a podcast, drop me an email or DM me on Instagram. And if you recently been to some trail race that you think you have some interesting video, please send it to me. Drop me an email. Because I'm going to be doing a lot of race recaps, and very interested to post trail footage from different races, and so that helps people, you know, check out races when they're interested to do a run and they don't know anything about it. But everyone have a good weekend, and enjoy your run.